live bei Radio Dreigland. Heute zu Gast im Studio Mark Andrew Hamilton von der Band Wood Pigeon, eingereist aus Kanada. Hi Mark.
Hello.
I'm very happy to have you on my show. Thanks for coming. And neben mir auch Steven Ackermann, der Mark nach Freiburg geholt hat. Live-Musik, die Gitarre ist schon unterm Arm und Mark hat schon eine Viertelstunde lang geübt und ist ganz wild drauf, hier uns gleich was vorzuspielen. Das Interview werde ich natürlich auf Englisch führen, ohne Übersetzung die ganze Zeit. Ich hoffe, ihr da draußen versteht ein bisschen Englisch, aber es wird nicht so schwer sein. So, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. You are on European tour. I read it on your MySpace site, but you just told me that you haven't played the guitar for 1 week. Why? All shows cancelled.
All shows cancelled. Yeah, I was meant to be on tour with Junip.
Yes.
And Jose Gonzalez.
And Junip is a famous band. I've never heard of them before.
Well, it's Jose Gonzalez's band. It's
okay.
It's not a new project, but he was with them first, and then his solo album got very famous, and then so now he's gone back to do a record with them. But he's ill, so all the shows were cancelled.
All the shows. How many shows have this been?
I don't know. 17 or something, maybe?
Wow, 17 shows cancelled.
Maybe even more, but I did a tour before with my friend Withered Hand through Scotland, which was really, really great, but I haven't played since the 4th of February.
So I guess it's better to do it for yourself, to go on tour alone, as today you will play at the Kaffeehof. Cozy small place at the Kartäuser Straße in Freiburg.
Very beautiful. We had breakfast there this morning at like 7 a.m. I think.
Will you be there alone or with your band?
I will be there alone.
Where is your band? 8 people.
Well, my band is, there's about 70 people in this band, actually.
70?
70, yes. 70 people have played in it.
Okay.
There seems to be a lot written about an 8-person band, but that doesn't really exist. There's a lot of people I play music with, and this tour I wanted to do on my own, to test things.
Okay.
To test the songs.
We will hear a song later. Mm-hmm. First of all, your band name, Wood Pigeon, it's in German, it's Taube, it's a bird.
Right.
And it sounds quite romantic, I would say romantic. I mean, this is a positive interpretation of Taube and Wood Pigeon.
Yeah.
Is this romantic thing the tenor of your music in general? Would you describe yourself and your music as very romantic?
I think so, sometimes. I think maybe half of it is romantic in kind of a misguided, naive way, as I often am. And the other half is maybe reflections on when that doesn't work out. So the, you know...
Oh, when love doesn't work out.
When love doesn't work out. Oh.
So it's about the good and bad sides.
Yeah, but also the idea that you have to keep trying anyways. I really don't like when people are defeatist and when they say, oh, there's no love out there for me. Sure there is. I think you just have to keep looking and trying. And I, you know, for myself, I will never not try, no matter how strange the situation is. It's all worth trying, because I think when I'm 85 years old, I don't want to be sitting in a rocking chair on the moon, wherever we live then, and regretting something from a long time ago. But yeah, I'd say it's romantic is very... It's not a way I've ever thought of the word before, but it's a really interesting way to think of it. Like before we came on, you said that it sounded like a French word. I'd never thought of that before either.
Hmm.
But yeah, I guess because
the name
you're viewing
Wood Pigeon.
Yeah, like viewing it through a German mind is
an
interesting way to look at it. Mostly I picked it because a wood pigeon, a lot of places, is considered a flying rat. And flying rat is a really good name for a rock band.
Okay. But flying rat is not romantic at all.
No,
instead of wood pigeon.
Unless it's flying rats in love.
Flying rats in love. Could be the punk version.
Rats need love too.
Nevertheless, your songs are not at all punky. Yeah. At least not in the instrumental.
Right.
Style and part, they sound super fragile and breakable for me, and very, very, very soft, but serious, or in the same time super serious. It's nothing naive or so.
I think so too. Oh, I think that love is always naive, or at least when you find a nice one, I think it's always nice to enter it into it kind of being naive. As for the music, I would buy all of that, yeah. I think once in a while I try not to be fragile, but for the most part I like the idea of whispering and small little things and you know, seeing what tiny pieces can do to make a big effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's also very longing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was confused for a long time about like where I should live or who I should be with or who I should be. And I think all of the songs reflected that. And that's a very, I guess, fragile place to be, maybe. I mean, we were talking earlier about all of the young, when I was young, that I went to lots of punk shows and I loved all that really loud music. And then when I started to make music myself, it was all very quiet. So I guess, you know, a direct reflection, maybe, of, yeah. I probably sound terrible if I scream or something. I've never tried.
You can try right now to scream.
Okay, we'll save that for the end.
Okay, one topic is love, of course, and... Yeah. Other thing is very fictional stories in your lyrics, so fantasies or something like this.
Yeah.
For example.
For example, a fantasy song.
Yes.
Or
like a fairy tale. I don't know how to describe.
I think a lot about fairy tales and the kind of lessons that are in them. Actually.
The moral.
Yeah, the moral. Mm. But one thing that I'm really always inspired by and that I've always loved is actually German fairy tales and German children's stories, because they're so heavy with moral and lesson and...
like this, yeah.
Yeah. I still can't say the name correctly.
How do you call this in English?
Like one together. Do you mean? Like a finger?
The finger, yes. Erhobener Zeigefinger, I wanted to say in German.
Well... What's the one with the hair again? The man with the hair and the fingernails?
Strumpelpeter.
Strumpelpeter, yeah.
Yeah,
I love that book. I have my mother's copy from when she was a child in Austria. But those kind of... if you look at the way that that book is drawn, it's very, you know, childlike. It's a book for children, and there's a little girl, for example, and she plays with matches, and then she catches on fire, and then there's a little... bit of ash and two cats crying on it, right? I don't know how I ended up here, but that's a very influential image for me.
Okay. I wanted you to play a love song, and I chose the song Our Love Is As Tall As the Calgary Tower, and you told me, I don't know how to play it right now, you haven't practiced before. Nevertheless, Our Love Is As Tall As the Calgary Tower. I don't know the Calgary Tower. Where does it stand?
Well, it's in the city of Calgary, where I'm from, in Canada. And it's a really unsightly building. It's, I guess there was a period maybe in the 50s and 60s and 70s where cities were building those really terrible towers that serve no purpose but just to be a tall tower.
We need a phallus symbol in our city.
And the Calgary one is especially phallic. Like, it has the shaft, right? And then the... top of it is red.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it's a big penis on the prairies in Alberta.
But you won't sing about this penis now? But?
If I remember the song, I would definitely sing a song about a giant penis on German radio. But today... Well, there's another love song, I guess, which is kind of a fantasy, which is called If Only I Were a Painter, I'd Paint for You the Moon. So if it's okay to play that one instead.
I'm looking forward.
Okay. Now.
Now.
Now is the time. Okay.
If only circles and lights, if only I had an eye, if only no need to try, I'd have you here and I. Paint the valleys of your face, draw the rivers in your wake, reflect mountains off your
for this song.
Thank you.
Ihr hört das Musikmagazin heute am Donnerstag, den 17. Februar, und live zu Gast im Studio ist Woodpigeon alias Mark Andrew Hamilton. Er spielt heute Abend im Café Ruf hier in Freiburg. Mark, we come to your last album. I don't know if it's the last. From March 2010.
Right.
Die Musikanten.
That's right.
And I guess it's about die Bremer Stadtmusikanten, isn't it?
So yeah.
It's a German title.
Yeah, which is where my Oma is from. My Oma's
your
from
grandma?
Bremen. Yeah.
She has a quite funny name. Can you tell it again?
Mariechen?
Mariechen, yeah.
Yeah, Mariechen Kater Hammerling.
Hammerling?
Yeah, Hammerling, yeah.
And from Hammerling you come to Hamilton.
Well, my father's last name is Hamilton, because it's the Scottish side. When I was a small child, I thought when your parents got married, their names just changed a little bit.
Okay.
Because Hammerling and Hamilton were so similar. I was a not very bright child.
It's like a fusion of two
yeah,
names.
Yeah, Hammerling, you become Hamilton. Yeah. But my Oma and Opa, they always had those bronze plaques on the wall of the donkey with the dog and the cat and the chicken. Mm,
die Bremer Stadtmusikanten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I thought looking at that fairy tale would be a really nice way to tell the story of my grandparents. And I really love the idea of those animals scaring away criminals, which it's very sweet, I think. I don't know if the actual German fairy tale has a rough ending to it, as many German fairy tales do.
Yes.
Does it? Does it end
rough
badly
and moral,
for them?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Especially for these old-fashioned Grimm's Märchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the one that I looked at mostly was I found a very old book from the 30s, which was an Americanized version of it, because I was intrigued by the idea that when something comes to North America and gets Americanized, it's kind of had the edges softened off of it, right? So for a lot of people, I think immigration was very difficult and very hard, but when we look back at it, we decide that it's like, you know, going to the promised land or going for a better life, we always say. So that was very intriguing to me. I thought it was a nice way to tell the story of them, to use this kind of fairy tale as a reference point.
And this is the concept of the whole album, because it's said to be a concept album.
Yeah, this a lot of it's the, to do the red line. That. Yeah, that's sort of. I mean, there's pirates on it, and there's other things that come up in it. But most of it is inspired by the idea of movement from one place very, very far away to somewhere unfamiliar, and a lot of it is also inspired by boats and movement with boats. Those things together kind of was my main points of when I was writing it, because that was how they came, and I love the idea of ship travel, and I find ship travel very romantic and very inspiring. Absolutely.
It's a bit dangerous too.
Yeah. I actually just took a boat crossing for the first time of my life from Newcastle to Amsterdam last week. You have those slight thoughts sometimes when you're walking around the boat and you see all those life jackets and you can see no land anywhere for nowhere on the horizon is there anywhere
to swim. It's similar to flying, to going by plane. So you have nothing under your feet and the personnel tells you the story about this emergency.
You're meant to be calm and...
Stay calm, take the mask, okay?
Absolutely.
Everything's cool.
I went to Estonia a couple of weeks ago as well. This is what I've been doing since I've not been playing shows. I've been going to different places I've never been, and the turbulence on the airplane flying back into Edinburgh was so bad.
Got a cough. Excuse me.
Are you all right? Do you want some water?
Got a coffee.
Steven, verschluck dich am Kaffee.
The turbulence was so bad landing into Edinburgh that we had to get into brace position, which you never actually expect to happen on an airplane. You know, like you always watch that. You always watch the safety demonstration, or by this point you just ignore it. But you know that there's like, you know, oxygen masks will come down, or there'll be a life jacket or something. But you never ever think you'll be on an airplane where they yell, brace. You know?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and when it actually happens,
it's just fiction.
You forget everything. Like, I would have no idea where my life jacket was if...
Yeah, I always think on this when they explain me how to behave, and I think, okay, if it's the real serious emergency case, I won't remember where is what shall I do with this mask and where do I have to go and so on. So it's...
And the I love the videos they show.
To tell
as well.
Me the story.
Absolutely, but... I love in the videos how calm everybody is when the mask comes down. You know, they put the child's mask on first, and then they put their mask on and they hold whoever's hand. Like, oh, we're fine.
Mm. Let's come back a little bit to your roots.
Okay.
They are German. We know it now. So from Bremen
and Vienna.
Vienna. Okay. So Austrian too.
Yeah, my opa would say he's
also
Austrian.
Scottish.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, my father's side is Scottish, and my mother's side, she would say they're Austrian.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you cope, or do you work with these different identities also in your music?
Absolutely, yeah. I think in Canada, we don't really have a very distinct identity. We're a country that's made up of so many other countries that, you know, if you were to maybe ask somebody to describe a Canadian person, they might just say, oh, well, they're friendly, right? Like, there's no kind of definitive Canadian attitude. Whereas I think that leaves some of us kind of searching for a cultural identity, and the cultural identity of Scotland is quite strong, and so is Germany. So for me, when I started exploring both of those things, I moved first to Scotland and lived there for some time.
In Edinburgh.
That's right. Yeah, and that was discovering that you were genuinely linked to a whole culture. That was a very eye-opening experience for me. And I think also in Canada, we don't really ever question identity that way, because everyone has that kind of background, because everybody in Canada comes from an immigrant to Canada. You know, it's a country that's just barely 100 years old, and kind of a lot of the cities, like the city I live in, people get excited when a building comes to be 100 years old, and there's very few of them. So I really wanted to explore those roots and realizing how strong cultural identity is in these countries. And even Austria, you know, I mean, if my opa heard me saying that I was German, he would correct me and say, no, you're not German, you're Austrian.
Mm-hmm. That's a difference.
Absolutely, yeah. And when I came through on my last tour, I went to Austria and stayed with some friends there, and I'm going to go visit them again shortly. And I asked them about, you know, what it's like living next to Germany, and if they feel that they're particularly different. And absolutely, everybody has a really strong identity. I guess the one kind of thing that Canada would have that's similar to that is we are very strong-willed and very strong on the distinction that we are not Americans. There is a big difference between Canadians and Americans, and we'd like everybody to know it. But otherwise, I think we kind of have to search a little bit and question what it means. And for me, growing up, I was just always used to, on Sundays, hanging out with German relatives. And on whatever day it was, I think maybe Saturdays, hanging out with Scottish people. And to me, that was just, okay, that's what life is like. But not realizing what the link meant to go back much further. And I think it's important for everybody to look at. So, yes.